All right, I'm going to ask you to find two places in your Bible tonight. First of all, the book of 1 Peter in chapter number 1, and then Luke's Gospel chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 1, and then Luke's Gospel and chapter number 5. I want to read in 1 Peter first. Verse number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And then, in Luke chapter number 5, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Yep. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto him, unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that portion of Scripture tonight. If you'd pray for me, I'd appreciate it. I don't feel like I've got a, definitely not a luxurious outline, but I want to try to bring the thought I feel like the Lord has given me for tonight for us. And like I said, it probably will not be for all, but I'm sure it will be for some. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight because you first loved us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be back in church, back in the house of God, back with your people. Thank you for your book that we've been able, Lord, to read and to glean from. And thank you for the morning hour and the preaching, Lord, that we enjoyed in that session with thee. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of preaching ourselves tonight. And I pray, Father, that you'd make me a blessing. I want to be a help to the people of God. I want to be a strength to Island Ford Baptist Church. I want to be able to glorify the precious name of Jesus in this service tonight. And I'd ask you to, Lord, dispatch the high sheriff from heaven to bring conviction upon every heart. I pray, Lord, that the same Spirit of God would give power and liberty and unction tonight to preach the Word of God. And, Lord, how we need liberty in this place. And I pray, Lord, that Thy Word would not return void tonight, that it would accomplish that which you send it out to do, and that it would fall upon good ground and be, Lord, productive tonight in the service. I pray you speak to that particular heart or those hearts, Lord, that you may be dealing with about what I'm about to preach upon. May the very will of God be done. May God's help be given to me tonight. And Father, we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to take really our, I guess our verse thought tonight out of verse number 10, where the Lord said there to Simon Peter in the last part of that, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And I want to try to preach tonight, if God would be my helper, for a little while on this thought, Peter learns to fish. The day that Peter learned to be a fisherman, the day that he learned how to catch men. Now, Simon Peter was a fisherman by trade. And in being that, someone may ask the question, surely Peter already knew how to fish. And I'd say that's absolutely right. He was, by trade, a professional fisherman. He knew where the big catches were. He knew the time of day to catch them. He knew how deep to let down the net. He knew how shallow to lower the net. And he knew how to bring the net in the land. He was a skilled professional fisherman without a doubt. But the Lord here is preparing Peter, or preparing to change Peter's profession. Peter is going from catching fish, of which he probably knew everything or everything there was to know about it, to catching men of which he absolutely knew nothing. And I want to say that I'd be willing to say that there's not many people on planet Earth, including us men of God, that really know a great deal about the art of catching men or fishing for men. And it's a shame on us. Now, I don't know much about soul winning, but I do know that I can be a witness. I don't know much about being soul winners, but I do know that God has called us to cast the net into the water that we might make a catch or catch a drought for the glory and honor of God. And God wants us all to become fishers of men, but certain men in particular. Now, if you'll notice here, it does mention James and John being partners with Brother Peter. There were two ships, but in every instance that our Lord is referring to here, He is referring to Simon Peter. He never directs His remarks to John. He never directs His remarks to James. Everything He has to say is directed to Simon Peter. In fact, James and John also had a ship, one of the ships standing out of the water, but it was not their ship the Lord got into. He got into the ship that belonged to Simon Peter, because Peter was about to learn a very valuable lesson that he must know for the ministry that God had called him into. That is absolutely right. And I want to preach a little while tonight on that. There's very few men that know much about catching men. And the old life, the old work, and the old associations were about to be left. They were about to be abandoned. And a brand new life was about to begin for Simon Peter. I want to say tonight, and I said I wouldn't be preaching to everybody, and I'm not. But I want to say to those of you in here that feel like that you're called to preach, or those of you in here tonight that would like to be called to preach, that I'm telling you, when God touches you, and God sanctifies you and sets you apart for the preaching of the Word of God, you mark her down, one thing is going to happen. You're going to have to cut all the ties behind you and burn every bridge there is behind you. There is no more going back or looking back. When God sets His hand upon a man to preach the Word of God, to become a fisher of men, there's no turning back, no looking back, no old life, but a new life, new associations, new people. I'm telling you, truly, old things are passed away, and all All things are made new when God touches a man to preach the gospel. I wonder if we got any fishers in here tonight. I had a young man come to me twice now and asked me how I felt about starting a Bible college. My first answer to him was, forget it. But my second response, which was today, is possible. Maybe. If there's enough folks to be interested. He said, I know somebody that might be, and he named a name. And he said, women, girls can come too, can't they? Oh yes, girls can attend too. May I say, those that may not even meet the qualifications that God lays down in Titus and Timothy, for a preacher can still audit Bible classes in a Bible college and learn about the Lord. And I'll tell you, hey, there's nothing wrong with all of us in here, whether we're qualified to preach or whether we're not qualified to preach, to learn more about the Word of God and more about fishing for men and more about trying to win souls for Christ and more about trying to do the will of God in our life. Wouldn't hurt any of us. I got to thinking about that. So he's getting ready to abandon fishing for fish. And he's going to start fishing for men. Fear not. From henceforth, he didn't say you might. Thou shalt catch men. Now I'm telling you, it's like Brother Nolan used to say, every man that God calls to preach, buddy, is like a possum. He's got a persimmon tree for every possum to climb in. Now I'll tell you, he's got a pond for every preacher to fish in. And the pond that he's given Brother Hall just happens to be Madisonville, Kentucky, in the surrounding area. And by the grace of God, for 18 years I've been casting my net into the water, hoping to draw some fish out of that water and bring them to shore for the glory and honor of God. Don't always get them there. Sometimes they wriggle out of the net. Sometimes you get them into the ship and they still flop out. Amen. Amen. That's right. Now you remember the last time when I, and by the way, I'm going to say this. The reason I read 1 Peter verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. God being my helper, I'm going to try to preach through that book. But I want to try to preach some things to you about the man that the Lord called to write those books and pen those books down. I'm telling you, when you read through the Gospels and look at Peter's life, you would think he is the least likely to succeed. If he was to be in the high school class today in North Hopkins, and they voted for the one that is most likely and the one that is least likely to succeed, I'm telling you, Peter would be called on as the least likely to succeed in that class. But I want to remind you tonight that God has chosen, ladies and gentlemen, the weaker things of this life to confound the wise. I'm telling you, God is not looking for men that are wise. God are looking for men that are willing. God is not looking for men that are strong. God is looking for men that are weak. God is not looking for men that are talented. God is looking for men that will allow the Holy Ghost to fill them with the Spirit of God and charge them, ladies and gentlemen, with the power of God to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Amen. You don't have to be a big shot to be a preacher. When I went to Bible college, I didn't know Adam's house cat, hardly. Don't know much now. Richard Hughes said, write to 9 parts of speech. I said, this joker's got to be crazy. There ain't but 8. Then I happen to think he's the teacher. Maybe he knows more than I do. Wasn't as easy as I thought it was. And what I thought I knew about the Bible, all I really knew about was motorboats on the Green River. I'm telling you, you can preach to your blue in the face on motorboats on the Green River, and it ain't going to help people one bit. But I'm going to tell you what will help them, getting into that Bible and learning that Bible and tell them about Jesus and letting them learn about Jesus and His glory and majesty and power and grace and beauty and loveliness. That's what will help people in this life. Hallelujah. And so the last time that I spoke to you out of that book, I tried to preach for a little while on Peter's conversion, how that God saved him, how he was converted, born again. And I mentioned somewhat about his character. And tonight I want to deal just for a few minutes, if you will bear with me, on Peter's call. I want to say right now, preachers are called. Somebody said in one of the big camp meetings that we know about, that a great big name preacher was preaching, and he said, by the way, he said, I have never been called to preach. He said, I just started preaching one day and God never stopped me. That's a remark he made. You know what I thought about that? I said, yep, and Judas went and hung himself and God didn't stop him either. David committed adultery and God didn't stop him either. But I'm telling you that, ladies and gentlemen, there is a definite, profound, absolute call upon a man's life. It is not a profession that God calls us into. It is a service God calls us into. It is a transformation, ladies and gentlemen, from discipleship into a particular service that God calls us into. Everybody's called to be disciples, but not everybody's called to be preachers. And so he is getting ready to be to move on from ordinary discipleship to a special ministry in his life. Simon Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. You know what the word apostle means? One sent. He sent me. Now I'm telling you, when God calls, God sends. Mark her down. When God calls, God sends, ladies and gentlemen. That is, if we're willing and we're obedient, God sends somewhere. I won't say amen on that again. Can't find any place in the Bible anybody's ever called to preach, God didn't send them out. He calls us in and sends us out. What a blessing. Thank God. Burn the bridges behind you. When I crossed the old High River Bridge in Louisville, I said, bye-bye, Indiana. Praise God, Kentucky man, with a hammer down. Amen. Except my time in Bible college in Arizona, I've been here ever since. I've lived in Madisonville longer than I've lived in any place in my life. I'm 59 years old. Because God's called me here. Now I want to mention a few things. You fellows that are called, listen. And you folks that are not called, listen. But I want us to look at, first of all, I believe what we find here in chapter 5 is Peter's preparation for the preaching of the Word of God. I'll never forget old Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, I've heard him say it on his broadcast a number of times. A call to preach is a call to prepare. And if you are too sorry to prepare yourself, you will never learn to be a preacher of the Word of God. I'm telling you, a preacher has got to be somewhat energetic and industrious, or he will never make it in the ministry. I'm telling you, lazy men cannot make it in the ministry. There are midnight oils that's got to be burned. There's hours that's got to be put in you know nothing about. God ain't called a lazy man. It's going to call an energetic, industrious man. And a call to preach is a call to prepare. A lot of men can prepare themselves. I found out real early I couldn't do that. I tried to take classes from one of the big colleges down in Florida by correspondence. And I found out real well I couldn't do that. I had to get somewhere where I had to put my nose to the grindstone. And that was Tabernacle Baptist College. Hallelujah to God. And it was there, hey, started out under Bill Nolan, a little preparation there, launched on out, let me preach a little bit, sent me on down to Greenville for a little more testing, out to Arizona for a little more testing, and brought me back to Madisonville and launched me out in the deep and said, let down your net for a draw. Come on now, don't nobody leave me. God may want to call somebody to preach tonight. God, I said, Lord, why do you want me to preach this for? Maybe the Lord wants to put His hand on some young lady to the mission field. Maybe God wants to call one of you young men to preach the gospel. Maybe God wants to renew some old call in your life to put a little fire back in your bones. And amen, a little fire in your soul to preach the Word of God. So this preparation, now from my understanding and my knowledge, Peter did not personally preach until the day of Pentecost. If Usher's chronology is right, that gave him 3.5 years. 3.5 years. Setting at the feet of the Lord Jesus, being trained, before he ever went out to preach the Word of God. 3.5 years. Fear not, Peter. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. But I'm telling you, it was at least 3.5 years later on the day of Pentecost when that prophecy about Peter became true. As far as I know, Peter never caught a fish during the whole ministry of the Lord Jesus during all of his training. But when God set him out on the day of Pentecost, he let down his net. There's not a doubt in my mind when them 3,000 run to Peter and said, what must we do to be saved? There's not a doubt in my mind. Oh, Peter's mind went right back to that net that he let down in the lake of Gennesaret and caught out a drought of fishes for God. Probably said, hallelujah, Jesus was right. The drought that he was talking about, I just caught today. Glory to God. Now, if it took him 3.5 years, to prepare himself under the teachings of Jesus in the flesh. Amen. Wonder how long you and I are to stay.
Right, amen. Amen.
I know some men that thank you, preachers, that thanks if a man says, I'm called to preach, you ought to be out pastoring tomorrow. This was one of the early lessons in Peter's life that he had to learn before he could ever fish.
Amen.
And I want to show you something here. I want all you men in here. And I don't know how to illustrate it to you. But this preparation was my personal illustration. Somebody said, preacher, what are you talking about? He came to Peter, listen carefully, while Peter was engaged in the ordinary work of life. And used his boat for preaching and the work of fishing to illustrate and to prepare him for a higher call in his service. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? Hey, there is a man that is a fisherman by trade. And the Lord did not go and find some mechanic and say, Brother Peter, I'm going to take this mechanic and teach you how to fish for men. He did not go to the warehouse and say, I'm going to get this warehouseman and I'm going to use him to teach you how to fish for men. He said, but Brother Peter, you are a fisherman. I'm going to take the very ordinary profession that you're in. I'll use that to illustrate Bible truth that you can use down the road when God is using you to fish for men. Now I want to say something, ladies and gentlemen, that God can do the same thing for a mechanic.
Amen.
Use the same ordinary trade.
Yes, sir.
He can take a warehouseman and use a warehouseman's trade to teach a warehouseman how to be a fisher for men.
Amen.
He can take a coal miner and teach a coal miner, amen, in that way, how to fish for men. He can take a radio station worker and teach him in his own ordinary trade, ladies and gentlemen, and illustrate the way he wants to how that man can become a fisher of men. Are you listening for me? Just an ordinary. He didn't go out. He didn't get Peter while he was on land. He didn't get him while he was at home. He didn't get him while he was at the synagogue. He got him on the job. He hemmed him up while he was at work. On the job. Ain't that right? I could throw out some illustrations at you, but I won't. Some of you may think I'm trying to call you. I'm not trying to call you. I wouldn't do that none in the world, but it wouldn't hurt some of you to start preparing a little bit. He might call you. Come on in the house now. Ordinary. Now I want to show you something. He used the ordinary tools of the trade to illustrate a great Bible truth to Peter.
Right.
And to me, this is pretty good. To you, it may not amount to anything. But now notice where they're at. They're on the Sea of Gennesaret. Now the last time I looked at a sea, saw one, it's made up of, you know what? Water. It is made up of water. And he sets down in the water. And in my text, as he sat down in the water, he entered into the side of the ship with Simon Peter's and said, thrust out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the ship wet in the water. I'm telling you, there is a great truth he's trying to... I'm telling you, fishing's got to be done in the water.
Amen.
Come on in the house. You'll catch up after a while, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, this screen door religion, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, ain't worth a flip of your used booger, buddy. But I'm telling you what is worth is when you take the nets and throw it out into the water of the Word of God. I'll guarantee you it's the Word of God that'll do the job on hearts today. Amen and amen. I'm so sick and tired of opinions. I'm sick and tired of storytelling. I'm sick and tired of tales and of Friday night tales and one thing another make a dog puke, sir. When will preachers ever get back to declaring what that Bible's got to say? I'm telling you, it's the power of God to the face, sinners. Amen. Get a hold of that if you don't get a hold of nothing else. I'm sick and tired of some of these guys getting up and telling stories about people burning up in cars and getting shot and how they got beat up and left on railroad tracks and people run to the altar and claim that they got saved. They wasn't 1 ounce of the Bible in it. Now I'm telling you, you are not getting saved apart from the Word of God. You can mark that down. Nobody's ever been saved apart from the Word of God. Hallelujah. Come on, Peter. I'm getting ready to teach you how to fish for men, son. The first thing I want to teach you, Peter, is you're going to have to learn to use the Bible. You can't get your illustrations out of an illustration book. And all your little personal stories, your illustrations are good to let in light on the truth. But oh, for that Word. God, for that Word. It's still quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you, and God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, able to take the Word of God and punch you one time in your thumping gizzard, and bless God, your thumping gizzard will automatically become a heart. Catch that after a while.
Amen.
That's right. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. And they are life. And I'm telling you, hey, we're not redeemed by corruptible things. The silver and gold. And we're not born again by the same. But we're born again by the incorruptible Word of God that liveth and abideth forever.
Yes.
I want you to get a hold of this. It lives, ladies and gentlemen, the same, and it abides in the heart forever after it has saved.
Yes.
It liveth and abideth. You'll catch up after a while,
yes,
the slow rate too.
Yes.
It's alive now and it'll abide in you forever. Somebody said, oh, can you lose it? Not if you get what I got, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
I've got too much of John 3:16 in my heart. Hallelujah to God.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Woo!
Yes.
2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I'm telling you, Bible college is good. Study time is good. It'll teach you how to use the word of God. I want to run it right by you one more time. Dr. Doolittle and Dr. Bottle Stopper and their opinions and storytellers, they need to learn how to rightly divide the word of truth and use the Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Hallelujah. I heard one get up in one of the larger camp meetings that I go to. Never did open his Bible, never quoted one verse of Scripture, stood there for 40 minutes, told stories. The altar filled up, and they said about 27 got saved that night, and there's not one verse! Not one verse! Was even quoted. Now I'm telling you, they didn't get saved. Somebody said, you're judging. You're right, I am, bless your heart, I guess I am. When the Bible said being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the incorruptible word of God, and there's no word of God, they could not have gotten saved.
Amen. Amen.
Amen and amen. Like it, lupping, hubba, dubba, jubba, bubbing, or leaping. Don't make no difference to me, buddy.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm getting sick of this bunch of slick tongue, velvet tongue, double tongue, idiots running around all over the country. Deceiving people, leading people astray, and making them a twofold more child of hell, wrapping them up in religion, and they'll die in religion and go to hell without God. I tell them they need some leather lung preacher to ride back and preach the word of God to them, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I feel souped up, revved up, right around.
Amen.
Hang right in there with me. The fish that Peter caught, where'd they come from? Out of the water. Out of the Word. Let down your nets for a drop, Peter. Where at, Lord? Up there on the shore amongst the cactuses? In the water. Put her in the Word, and we'll get to the ship in just a minute.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. In fact, right now, there's the ship.
Amen.
Now get off. I like this. Now you're going to have to stay with me here.
Amen.
What was that ship? He got in silence and he said, launch out a little from the land. And he sat down and talked. And by the people, by the way, when he sat down, when the Lord sat down, he is telling people, Peter, you're not one bit better than they are, buddy. You're on the same level that they are. Just because I'm calling you and preparing you, you're not one bit better than they are, Peter. I'm just going, come on now, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. What was that ship? That ship was the instrument that Jesus used to move the preacher on the water. Get the ship, go out on the water.
Amen.
Amen. I wouldn't be dogmatic about this. But I'm telling you, there's only one agent I know of that can open up the water.
Amen.
There's only one agent I know that can convert fish.
Amen.
I declare to you, the ship has got to be a type of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Spirit of God that moved Peter out upon the water. And I'm telling you, it's the Holy Ghost. Let me out of here. Praise God. It's got to be the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen, that'll introduce you and illuminate the Word of God to you in your heart. Amen. Thank God. That's right. Get in the ship and get in the Word. Get in the Holy Ghost and get in the Word. That's it right there. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm feeling good. And I'm not James Brown.
Amen.
Ain't you glad I'm not, Brother Jerome? Listen carefully now. 2 Peter. I didn't write down the chapter and the verse for some reason. For the prophecy came not of old time, but by the will of man. Nor by the will of man. But holy men of God spake.
Amen.
How, Brother Hall, as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm here to tell you that a man of God must be moved by the Holy Ghost. Son, if he's moved by the flesh, and I've been there more time than I want to be, he ain't going far in this service of God. I tell you men in here that are called to preach, and I tell every man in here and every woman likewise, get acquainted with the Holy Ghost of God. He'll illuminate your heart. He'll illuminate the Scriptures and open the Word of God to you. He'll empower you. He'll open up your blinded eyes. But with all thy getting, get unction tonight. Some of you need to be filled up with the Holy Ghost. I read Leonard Ravenhill's book I've read all of them. And I think that the one that the quote that I'm going to make, the chapter title is in, is Why Revival Tarries. He wrote several books. Why Sodom had no Bible, America's too young to die. But I think this chapter is in Why Revival Tarries. And one of the chapter headings was All Thy Getting. Get unction. You don't have to be a preacher to get unction. God wants saved daddies to get unction. God wants born again mamas to get unction. God wants choir singers to be unctionized. God wants song leaders, and God wants special singers and piano players and musicians to be unctionized. God, I'm telling you, Baptists, they don't know anything at all about the power of the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
This time, bless the Lord, some of you in here learned what it means to be unctionized, to have some power about you. I can't explain. Hey, up in the Pentecost, Peter was flabbergasted. He was impulsive. He run his mouth. He denied the Lord. But I'm telling you, when Pentecost rolled around and the Holy Ghost fell and he found himself unctionized. Things changed. When he got unctionized, threw out the net and said, Lord, what you going to do? And he said, same thing I done in Luke 5, boy. Pull them in. Everybody still with me? Now, Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together, and were shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Guess what they done? And they spake the word of God with boldness.
Yeah.
You ever see some preachers get up and they ain't got a lick of boldness about them? They act like they're afraid they're going to step on somebody's toes. And Brother Troy, you ever heard a man get up and preach and he just ain't got that ring in his saying? You know how? I mean, I can hear a preacher preaching. I'm telling you, don't take long. I'm telling you, it's got a little ring in his saying. Somebody said, you mean getting loud? I believe that's part of it.
Amen.
Charles Spurgeon said, God never called any velvet-tongued man to the ministry. I didn't say that. C.H. did. Bearded prophet. Talk to him about it when you get to heaven.
Amen.
Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today in the sight of God. Make a dog puke. I like preaching, Brother Billy. I like to see a guy sweat a little bit. Amen. I really do. I like a guy that will raise his voice every now and then. Hallelujah.
Yeah,
got something in it that's something on the inside of you when he says, when he makes statements, something or something, and you say, he's right, he's right, he's right. Anybody here want to be a fisherman? Ain't nobody left. Ain't nobody. Don't leave me now. The net. What does the net, you reckon, represent? Some of you are going to pass out on this. But I believe the net represents Peter. I believe the net is the preacher. That preacher's got to get in the water. Have I still got you? Has everybody left me? And look here. One reason I say that in verse number 2, he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were going out of them, and guess what they were doing? Now, I'm really getting ready to get on something here. Just hang with me. They were washing their nets. Now, you know where I'm going now, boys. That tells me that the preacher's got to be clean. Not a dip. I'm a man of the cloth. Yeah, you look like a man of the can to me, bud.
Amen.
Cigarette sucking, Bermuda wearing, belly button showing, compromising, lily living, egg sucking preachers that drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Don't mind going to bed with their neighbor's wife. Suck Marlboros a mile and a half long. They look like a freight train driving down the highway when you pass them. And every other word that comes out of their mouth is a little potty word. I'm standing in the funeral home Friday night. And one of my cousins that is a deacon in the church my brother goes to. Standing there talking to me, and he's talking to me about that, about a neighbor of his that we both know. And he just let out the GD word, boy. I mean, just let out. I said, well, I told him, I just turned around and kind of eat off. I said, he's a deacon?
Yeah. Amen.
I told my older brother about it. He said, Jared, that ain't nothing. Said, I've heard him cuss right in the church house. I said, what's the preacher got to say about that? They're cussing in the church house and the preacher ain't saying nothing about it?
Amen.
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 He's dirty somewhere.
Amen.
He's either dirty or he doesn't. He's got a backbone like a wet noodle.
Amen.
My brother said, well, they smoke out on the steps and cuss on the steps all the time. I said, you're kidding me. I said, is the preacher ever out? Oh, yeah. You got to be joking me. They were washing their nets. I'm telling you, man of God, and Christians that want to catch men better learn to wash their nets. I'm using that out of text, what I said. But you better learn to wash your net every day in the water of the Word of God, friend. Hallelujah. Trying to hurry. Trying to hurry. They must be clean. I wonder if I don't nobody leave me now. They must have. Hey, they have their greatest success. Now, I want everybody to listen to this. In deep waters. They had toiled all night and had not caught a thing. And I believe it's in verse 4. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. Now, somebody said, now, preacher, don't you think that we're going to extremes? After all, we just bought a radio station. And now you really expect us. You really expect us to put up money for translators in Martin and translators in Paris and translators down in Hopkinsville. Preacher, aren't you just asking just a little too much? Can't we just be satisfied with the ministry where we are? I'm telling you that God Almighty was not satisfied with the ministry where Peter was. And he had taught all night, caught nothing, all night, nothing. Jesus said, go out into the deep, boy, let down the net. That's where the fish are at.
Amen.
I said it cost a lot of money. Them nets and ships cost a lot of money, too.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I wonder how many Pharisees in here tonight.
You're just asking too much. Don't expect me to give any more.
May not ever give any. Deep water, ladies and gentlemen. They had to get in over their head. They got out further and over their head. I guarantee you the boat wouldn't touch the bottom where they were. I'm telling you, sinners are not coming to us. They were in the water and we had to go. Peter had to go where they were and they were out in the deep, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, boy, that brought up one. I'm telling you, they're in the deep today. Deep sin, that's I am. Deep sin, I'm telling you, we're going to have to go get them. It's going to cost some time.
Amen.
You know, you should let down your nets. Launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a drop. You know what Peter said? I don't want to get to all of it yet. He said, Lord, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing. I know he said, nevertheless at thy word. But in them first words, you know what I see of Peter? Same thing I see in some of y'all's faces when I get to preaching about spending more money and doing greater things. About I'm going to say, fear. Doubt. Hesitation. Lord, we've toiled all night. And we've taken nothing.
Amen.
Now I want you to get a hold of this. You say, well, he didn't doubt. I want you to get a hold of this. Can you just enter into my imagination me a little bit right now? Lord said, all right, Peter, launch out into the deep for a drop. Let down your nest for a drop. And Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night. And in the back of his mind, you know what he's thinking? He's a carpenter. This guy's a carpenter. And he's going to tell me how to fish. I have you to know, Mr. Carpenter, we've been out there all night. You're a carpenter trying to tell a fisherman what to do. We've been there all night and hadn't caught anything. I'm going to tell you what Jesus, the lesson Jesus is trying to teach him right here. Peter, you don't catch souls in the dark. Bless God, you catch them in the light.
Amen.
That'll soak in on you after a while. Work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man can work. I'm telling you, you don't fish. It's good fishing in the night. We know that. That's good fishing time. But I'm telling you, Jesus not talking about that. He said, fear not. From henceforth, you're not going to be catching bass.
That's right.
You're going to catch men.
Amen.
And you catch men when the light's on.
Yeah.
Peter, it's daylight. The light's been turned on. I would to God, God, turn the light on in here tonight on some soul that's down at the bottom of the sea, ladies and gentlemen, way down deep in sin. May God Almighty rescue somebody tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm about to have a shout and spare myself. Glory to God. What did I do with them old broken glasses? I'm saying them babies is like Timex. They have took a licking and kept on ticking. I was at Brother Steve's yesterday in the auditorium, and they had tables out in the auditorium from the pulpit all the way almost to the back door. And I was at the back door, and I took his glass. They slid all the way down front, jumped off the end of that table, and landed on a platform like that. I said, well, praise God. You're doing pretty good here. It didn't even bother. Somebody said, well, I wouldn't do that to my glasses. I didn't ask you to. Hey, mine. My eye's starting to get sore again. Told Brother and Sister Woodrow over a while ago, may have to do like the Lord said. If your right eye offend thee, plug her out.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now look here. Peter, a fisherman, must be faithful and obedient.
Amen.
Let down your nets for a draught. Launch out into the deep. No doubts. No fears. Peter's doubt and hesitation. He said, Master, we have toiled all night and taken nothing. Jesus, a carpenter, telling an experienced fisherman how to fish. They had toiled all night, but a good time to catch fish and taken nothing. But now it is day. And the Lord wants to teach Peter that men, unlike fish, are caught in the light. John 9:4 said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh. No man can work.
Amen.
You ain't going to catch him in the night. Somebody said, where are you getting that, preacher? Right here is where I'm getting that. Do you know who sends the light? Oh, send the light, the blessed gospel light. Somebody said, here he goes again on his hobby horse. Yeah, we need his presence. He said, I am the light of the world. I'm telling you, friend, we need him right here.
Amen.
Tonight to catch some fish.
Yep.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Yep.
Now I want you to notice something. Not only the preparation for Peter, but the progress in Peter's life. Peter said, Lord, we've toiled all night and taken nothing, but nevertheless at thy word we'll let down. Now get this. I want everybody to read this, underline this in your Bible. I'm going to show you how we can miss God very easily sometime. Brother Billy, you've got your Bible open there, ain't you? Read that verse where it tells him to launch out into the deep. What does it say in that verse? 4 or 5, whatever it is.
Let down your nets.
Wait a minute, let down your what?
Nets.
Let down your nets. Let down your nets. Now read up here where Peter caught the fish. What's it say about when he caught the fish? What break? Uh-oh! The net break. God said, Peter, I want you to let down nets, plural. Peter let down net, singular. Just a simple thing, Brother Hall. But I'm going to tell you what it cost him. It cost him twice as many fish.
Amen.
One little old simple failure, ladies and gentlemen. It's costly in the work of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now notice the progress though. The immediate result. The immediate result was that he got a hold. Now look here. Come on now, everybody listen to me. Here is a preacher getting preparation. God said, let down your nets for a draught. And he's thinking, I might catch 2 or 3. You know what I thought? I went to Arizona. I said, boys, it's dry up there and I know it's rough. I might be able to pastor a church of 10 people. I know people out there right now that ain't running no more than 10 in church. Have been out there 10, 12, 15 years and ain't run over 10 people in the church.
Yeah.
Peter had immediate success. I'm going to tell you, when God told me to let down my net in Tucson, Arizona, when we finally got away from Grone Valley, that was letting down the net, not nets. We let down the net down there. Didn't get nothing. Well, we got something. Cussed out a few times. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, when we got to Tucson and let down the nets, it was an amazing thing. Hey, you know what it was? Immediate success. First service on Sunday morning, I think we had something. In that motel room, we had something like 32 people. It was so exciting in there. It was so exciting that I had everybody stand up and I didn't tell them who they was. There was a family there by the name of Yerigans. And Benny got to know their little boy named John Yerigan. And everybody was identifying himself. I said, I'm Gary Hall. Miss Hall said, Brenda Hall, Lisa Hall, Tammy Hall, Gary Hall, John Hall. I mean, John Yerigan. Oh, it was exciting. 32, something like that. I used to have it written down on paper on Sunday morning. Went back Sunday night and had 44. Went back the next Sunday morning, had 53. Went back that Sunday night, had 65. Went back the next Sunday night, and we had near 80 people. Or Sunday morning, had near 80 people. And Sunday night, had over 80 people. And after 3 weeks, we had to go! I'm talking about immediate success, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
God called me to preach, and I thought, my goodness, I'll never amount to anything. But I tell you, 3 short weeks, and we had 80 folk already in the house of God. And started seeing them get saved. God brought me to Madisonville on the first Sunday morning here. Said there's 19, counting my family. I counted us all this morning, counting the visitors, and there's 75.
Amen.
Somebody said, that ain't many. Wonder how many's listening tonight over WSOF radio, WAJJ radio. Wonder in a few months how many will be listening over in Paris and down in Martin and down in Hoptown. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, God said, let down your nets, lengthen your cords, breaking your stakes. It's time to go after them. It is time to go after them. Hallelujah. One way or another, it's time to go after them. And then I want to notice something else. Not only unexpected. The unexpected result was immediate success. But there was also, in this progress, not only an unexpected success, but an unexpected revelation.
Amen.
The Lord revealed Himself to Peter and revealed Peter to Himself.
Right, right.
No, He didn't reveal Peter to the Lord. He revealed Peter to Peter.
Right.
Peter first called him Master. Master, we've toiled all night.
Amen.
You know what he called him next? Lord.
Amen.
You know what? I'm going to get Peter out of the way first. What Peter said, depart from me, O Lord! For I am a sinful man. I'm telling you, he was amazed at what Jesus had done in his life. And he realized, ladies and gentlemen, his hesitation, his doubts, and his fears were nothing but sin.
Amen.
Peter found out real quick who Peter was. A sinner. But can you imagine? He found out real quick who Jesus was too. When he said, let out in the deep, put them down in that water for a draught. And all them fish come out. I can bet you, Peter said, unto God, this fellow's not an ordinary person.
That's right.
He even knows, this carpenter knows where fish live, boy.
Right, amen.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, he knows where fish live today.
Yeah.
He knows where it must have been a school of them went by.
Yeah.
Didn't say anything about how big they was or what kind they were.
Right.
Just a lot of them.
Amen.
Who cares? Their soul needs to be born again.
Amen.
They need Jesus.
Yeah.
They need Jesus. So there's a preparation and there's a progress. And here's the purpose. Hear me now. Fear not, Peter. From henceforth, thou shalt catch me. Now, I'm going to tell you what, ladies and gentlemen. If Jesus walked in here tonight, and it amazed every one of us, and He walked up on this platform and said, now, preacher, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go up to Courthouse Square, to that monument out there where they're always advertising the Qantas Club and all this, stand up on your head, and lean up on your head there for 30 minutes and prepare to catch a drought. I'd probably say, I don't know about all that. But I'm telling you, He do know.
Amen.
He do know where all them fishes is at, ladies and gentlemen. And my, hey, look here. It wouldn't, hey, I should not fear or doubt or hesitate 1 minute. He said, go up there and stand on your head. Yes, sir! I'm on my head. I'm bound for the square up on my head.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you something. I want everybody to listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. God will tell us, will lead you to do some things that are very foreign and strange to your old nature.
Amen.
To accomplish His will. The reason we're not doing anything today, we are trying to do it in our will, in our own willpower.
Amen.
And our own strength. Because we see things, spiritual, supernatural things, and we look at them and say,
it's not like that today. It's not like that today.
Why not?
Amen.
Why not?
Right.
I remember 1 year, 1981. It's having June and having a camp meeting. Madisonville, 82, having a camp meeting up here over at the old temple, the old radio station. And they was in there raising money, and Herbert Williamson was sitting behind the microphone, and he said, Lord of God, day bad, day bad. He said, praise God. He said, God told me to take my shoes off, amen, and not put them on until somebody send in $1,000. He said, somebody out there is going to send in $1,000. Amen. He said, somebody's going to send it in before we get started singing under the tent tonight in the evening service. Praise God. He pulled his shoes off, and I kind of scratched my head, and I said, I don't know that guy too well, but I've heard of him. And honestly, I said, I've heard he's strange, but I didn't know he was this stupid. And it come time to head to the tent. And there went old Herbert Williamson up through there with just his socks on. Praise God, glory to God, going to the house of God. Amen, amen, amen. He got about halfway up there and somebody come running around the building and said, Brother Williamson, here it is, here it is. Come and get your shoes. And I'm telling you, before we ever got to the tent, 1,000 come in.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, do you think God tells you to do things like that? Oh, yeah. Somebody said, why? I'm going to tell you why. To test your faith and obedience.
Amen. Amen.
Got enough faith to believe God, and are you obedient to do it?
Amen.
That's the reason why 99% of Baptists today will never make the grade as a real Christian.
Amen.
Because they are so hung up on this thing that it's going to embarrass me to try to do what God might want me to do in my life.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
So he gave him assurance. And you know what Peter did? When he caught all them fishes, he looked at them boats and said, see you later. See you later. New life, new people,
amen.
New work. See you later. I wonder if there's anybody in here tonight say, see you later. Thy boats, thy nets, thy fish, I'm going to catch souls.
Amen.
Let's stand together.